Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 189. And woo, I'm like riding a post-conference wave and the present ticket launch of Arise. So we're going to get into all of this, but a celebratory show for sure. So yeah, starting there, if you haven't heard, tickets for the Arise Good Things Radio Retreat, June 5th through the 7th, the Jesuit Retreat Center, on sale now. And two easy ways you can access the Eventbrite page just to even gather more information, save the date. I know it's a little far out. We've always had retreats in the spring. It's been March, April sometimes. This is June. So for some, it's not always easy to plan that far out, but mark it as a bookmark. And you can find that two easy ways, either by clicking on the show notes, or right now you can text the word FIAT to the number 66866. Text the word FIAT, the number 66866, and that automatically enters you into the GTR newsletter, and the text will link directly to you with the Eventbrite page and all of the details. But the retreat space is limited, and we would love to see you. And we'll sprinkle in more details about that throughout the show today. Also, just recently celebrating the feast day of Pope St. John Paul II, and one personal thing I was thinking, I don't know that I ever talked about this. I think I've written about it before, but I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast, is that did you know you can learn the rosary in Latin with St. John Paul II? And I did this many years ago when I still used CDs in my car. It sounds ancient now. And so I would get up at 2:30 in the morning. I would have an hour drive to the morning show, and every single day I would listen to this CD, and it had all the mysteries of the rosary, even the luminous rosary, and you prayed to the voice with St. John Paul II as he prayed in Latin, and then you hear the congregation. But it was really hard because when you're driving and you're trying to learn a new language and it's not clear, you know, when you know it so well, you just kind of say it quickly. And so I had a really hard time. I had to learn it phonetically day by day. It took me months, but that was such a special time because it was my little rosary date with Holy Father. And once you learn something like that, thanks be to God, it's pretty much in your brain forever. But with my schedule being different, I don't do that anymore. So for his feast day, it was nice to be able to pull up the sorrowful mysteries and to be able to pray that with him in Latin. And I just want to share a little clip for you to hear how it sounds as well. Take a listen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Oh, his voice, I never get tired of hearing his voice, and just the beauty of technology to be able to pray alongside him still, and then to learn it in Latin. So I will link it up for you. That will be in the show notes. And once you find that particular mystery, the sorrowful mysteries, you'll be easy on your way to find the rest of the mysteries as well, and you can pray along if you're interested. And the other super fun sacred shindig that took place recently is the very first Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference. So I've been talking about this, especially if we're connected on social media. You've seen pictures and the lead up, but it was sold out, spirit poured out kind of day. Powerful moments that we're still unpacking. I really liked Laura Mary Phelps. I actually wasn't familiar with her before this event, but she is a writer with the Walking with Purpose Bible study. Had two of her children at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. We all know what happened with the shooting. Thanks be to God, her children survived, but the aftermath and the trauma, they're still unpacking years later. And she was so transparent and candid about the ongoing challenges, and not just of that, but other aspects, and had a great quote by James Dobson. And that was, he said, "We humans have the power to withstand an extraordinary amount of suffering, provided it makes sense." And when something so senseless happens, like a school shooting, or so often a terrible tragedy that we can't even fathom, it is hard to process and to carry that. But then she went on to say, "We can let the sorrow and the suffering be the star of the show, or we can just choose to live, and how it's not easy. And that transparency and her own journey, I think, for me, are one of my favorite things. She's one of the best speakers I've ever heard. But everybody, I mean, it was a home run, slam dunk kind of day. So I'll talk about it when we get into our segment a little bit later on of who was there, what happened. But I also am excited to share with you our man on the street clips. My buddy Christina, my trusty assistant, was there, and not only working the table, but working the audio recorder as well. So she went up and grabbed just a few clips from attendees. They're super short, but I thought it would be fun to sprinkle those in too. So take a listen to a few of the attendees. We're going to start with Sister Ashley and what they had to say about the conference. Here it is.
Hi, I'm Sister Ashley. I'm a Mercedarian Sister of the Blessed Sacrament. Today has just been wonderful. The presence of Christ is overwhelming, and just the love that he's wrapping around the Daughters of Christ is overwhelming. And it's just so good for our diocese to have this here. And it just shows how much our church is on fire amidst all of the other things, all the chaos that's going on around us. It just is a sense of renewal, and it's good to see lay people, mothers, sisters united together in worship, prayer, all of it. So I'm just thankful to be able to be here, to be a part of it, and just allow Christ to be the center of it. Like, that's where why we're all here, because Christ is the center of us. So
hello, my name is Louise Miller, and I'm on the team for the first ever Cleveland Catholic Women Conference. I can't believe, first of all, how everything came together, and I really believe from the speakers and the time we had together, I see a lot of women crying, in pain, hugging each other, praying for each other. So I know the day was absolutely like a blessing for them as well, and a blessing for the team.
Thank you again to Sister Ashley. She's a Mercedarian sister, and I love her point about it shows how much our church is on fire amidst the chaos going on around us, because we know that's the case, and Christ being the center of us. Beautiful words, and also a big thank you to Louise Miller. You know Louise. She's a buddy, a friend of the show, and on our own, not only the Cleveland Catholic Women's team she joined, but a member of the Arise team as well. And really impressive to see right out of the gate what these ladies did for the first year. It always amazes me what we can accomplish when we get together and just get it done. And with the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's what it was about. Very prayerful group. I do have one more conference clip from Michelle. Recently, she was on the show. You may have heard a Voxer message where she interested in the Arise retreat, but as a single woman wondering, is this the right event for me? And so you'll hear her. She drove all the way from Michigan to attend the conference. And I want to explain what you're about to hear. So Christina, our roving reporter, asks Michelle not only about the event, but about the 2020 Arise Retreat. Here it is.
My name's Michelle Piccolo. I'm originally from Cleveland. I moved to Michigan a couple years ago, so I'm in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and I came here to the Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference. I was so excited when I saw that this was happening. I have a lot of friends that are part of getting this here and starting this, and it was just, I gotta say, I felt called to come here. Just an interesting time in my life. You know how God just moves in very interesting ways, and his timing is always perfect. And the theme of this whole conference, Fearlessly Faithful, just very appropriate. And the talks have been fantastic, especially the first one, Mary Bolesky's talk on identity. That's something that we really need everyone to hear, not just Catholics. Everybody needs to know their identity, that we were created in the image and likeness of God, and that we are beloved daughters of God. And as she said, she goes, it's a nice thing to just say, but you have to claim it, you have to grasp it. And then we can really live, we can really flourish and thrive as Christians in this world and be light to others when we know that and when we believe it and trust. And Arise Retreat, should we talk about that?
Yes.
So I signed up for the Arise Retreat. I actually met Brooke Taylor first year that she did it. I don't know when that year was. I think I wanna say it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And she had mentioned it. I had met her conference somewhat like this, sort of. And she said, hey, you know, you want to come, you want to sign up? We're filling up. We only have a few tickets left for this retreat. And I said, gosh, I don't know. I really don't think, I'm kind of like, need a break from retreats. At that point in my life, I was just like, yeah, just it's just not going to happen. The timing is just not a good time, not a good season. And then she had gotten her podcast going, and I was a faithful listener of that. And she kept mentioning it, and you know, and I just felt called, I thought, you know, a women's retreat, a weekend, I can afford to do that. Being single, I would just like to say something to my single sisters. Sometimes we feel a little bit overlooked because, especially in the church, you know, sometimes we just feel like things aren't for us if we're, and I'm an older single, right?
It's a forgotten vocation.
It is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think, well, those retreats for women, oh, it's for married mother, you know, it's for wives and mothers. Well, I'm not one of those, so I guess I can't go. And of course, that was never something that I felt from Brooke and her Arise retreat promotion. You know, now that these retreats are designed for any woman in any season of life. And so I signed up, I got the VIP, because I heard a podcast where she was talking about it and inviting others and getting everyone excited about it. And there's just something, and so I will just say a shameless promotion for any single women out there that are considering it or thinking it's not for them, like, oh, I'm single, I can't do it. Absolutely, it is for every woman to do. And I feel like retreats are just such a great time to refresh, renew yourself, remember, be reminded that you are a beloved daughter of God, and how can you live out this universal call to holiness that we all have. And so retreats are a great way to do that, to just, and be among others. That's really important. Community is so crucial because a lot of us don't have it. We don't have support, maybe from our own family members. We don't know. So this is a way that other women can come together with other women on different parts of the journey, because we're all in different parts of the journey. Some of us are like, we would be considered like beginners, some are intermediate, some are advanced, but we're all the same. We're all beloved sisters in Christ. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to, is meeting other people.
Thank you again to Michelle. Michelle is going on retreat. So very, very, very thankful. And thank you for speaking to the single sisters on this, Michelle, as well. Fantastic. And great to see Michelle, who also happens to know one of our speakers from the conference. As I mentioned, she's in the Diocese of Detroit, as she said, and happens to be friends, and originally from Ohio, but friends with a Cleveland diocesan priest. And that's Father Patrick Schultz, one of the conference speakers. And so recently, I had a chance to interview him, and I want to share that conversation with you, because initially it was just supposed to be airing on terrestrial radio. This was going to be on the Cleveland Catholic radio station and for the purpose of the conference. And so in the interview, you might be like, what? Because I'm already talking about the conference as if it's coming up, and obviously we know it just happened. But as I listened back, I thought, man, this would be so good for you guys, like for all of us to re-listen, because he's talking about his vocation story, which is very real and fantastic. He talks about an encounter con celebrating Mass with Cardinal Dolan where it didn't really go well. I mean, it did. It's a cute moment. So he talks about that. And then the theme, which was the conference theme, was fearlessly faithful. And that direct call to us, how to increase our faith, how to increase our trust. So there's just a lot of meaty content in there, and I wanted to share it with you. So here it is. This is a segment with Father Patrick Schultz in our segment. Hello, Father Patrick.
Hello, Brooke. It's so good to be with you.
Welcome to the show. This is kind of fun because we both also were at an event together recently. That was the Alleluia Ball for the Diocese of Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was an incredible event at the brand new Hilton downtown. There was a record number of people who were there. It was an awesome event supporting Catholic education in the diocese. And oh my gosh, it was just gorgeous. Cardinal Dolan was there. We had Mass. You were great. You were the MC there. Oh my gosh, you were so good. Radiant.
Thank you.
Just awesome.
I'm actually very glad that I wore a long dress because my legs were shaking so bad. And I thought, well, you can't even tell. I guess that's the benefit. But it was a large room, over 1,000 people, as you mentioned, over $1.3 million raised. And you were able to concelebrate Mass, which was, had you ever done that, to concelebrate with the Cardinal before and the Bishop?
Yeah, well, I've concelebrated with the Bishop before, of course, as a priest of the diocese. You know, you celebrate or concelebrate these big events. But I actually have concelebrated with Cardinal Dolan before, right after I was ordained a priest in 2016. One of my best good buddies, he and I, another priest, we went to New York City for a sort of priest celebration trip. And I really wanted to kneel in front of the tomb of Fulton Sheen, who was buried. I don't know if he's still there, but at the time he was buried in the crypt of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And my buddy, Father Ryan Mann, he set it up so that we could concelebrate one of the daily masses with Cardinal Dolan. And Anyway, so we met him in the sacristy beforehand, and he's just this giant of a man and, you know, yucking it up and slapping us on the back and on the shoulder and grabbing you and just, oh, I'm so glad you're here, and it's so great you're a priest. And anyway, at the end of Mass, it was so funny. He invited me forward to give the final blessing at the end of Mass, and I just, it was a total surprise. So I walk out into the cathedral, and the Lord be with you, and the whole congregation responds, and with your spirit. I go, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And then I just go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. And the cardinal looks at me, he goes, hey, you stole my line.
Did you laugh? Did you pass out?
Yeah. Laughed. I'm like, I'm new. I don't know these things.
Well, there you made an impression, you probably.
What a beautiful opportunity to do that, and at St. Patrick's as well.
Yeah, wow. It was gorgeous. It just had been finished renovated, so it was brand new and beautiful and awesome. So
many consolations. Well, just as electric, maybe in a different way, as the Alleluia Ball and thinking about the beauty of the Mass, the first ever Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference, which does include the sacrifice of the Mass. But let's talk about that. You are a speaker. And again, mentioning the lineup, we have Laura Mary Phelps. There's Mary Bielski. There's Taylor Tripodi singing. Obviously, we have Bishop Perez celebrating Mass, and you'll be there as well. And for those that don't know, I guess I need to back up. I want to offer a little bit of your bio. You are parochial vicar at Community of Saints Parish in Cleveland, also chaplain for the Theology of the Body Institute, and I think occasional chaplain with Christopher West on pilgrimage. You've gone on at least one, haven't you?
Yeah, last November, went to Rome and Assisi with Christopher and the TOB Institute, and man, what a time that was. That was incredible.
I can't imagine. And then also, I know you're involved with the wonderful Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Holy smokes. Now, that's an amazing organization. I love those people down there.
Yeah. So you're just a little busy, but what a wonderful variety.
Yeah. No, I'm super blessed. It's priesthood is not boring. It is exceptionally awesome.
And you're going to be sharing that, a little bit of not only your story, but your pastoral gifts for the women as we touch on the theme, Fearlessly Faith. That is the big headline. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I guess I got a lot of thoughts, but one of the first things that came to mind when I first heard of the theme proposed for the event was, I first was thinking all about all of the incredible faithful women who accompanied Jesus in his ministry and who had the fearlessness and boldness to be with him at the foot of the cross. Like, Jesus's ministry was buoyed up by the life and love and tenderness and attention and care and support of, Scripture names some of the women, but I just imagine there was many. There's a unique charism in the heart of femininity. You know, John Paul II describes it as the feminine genius, to be attentive to and welcoming and nurturing of the other. I mean, it's carved into her very body as the capacity for motherhood, but it just so marks the entire feminine personality. I just see the Lord's heart turned towards women right now in this age of the church and this season that we need, as Pope Francis said, we need a revolution of tenderness. And the ones who are the masters and teachers of tenderness to every human heart from the very beginning are mothers and women. And so one of the things I think about with this theme is just the faithfulness of the women who have supported the faith of the diocese and the priests all along through the many, many decades and centuries, but also in this season of the church right now, I see the Spirit wanting to kind of revive some of this fearlessness in the heart of these women to really take ownership of that charism of tenderness and nurturing and life and all of that stuff.
You had mentioned feminine genius, and I was reading Pope John Paul II's letter to women, and in it he talks about Mary calling herself the handmaid of the Lord, and through her obedience to the Word of God, she accepts this obedience, this yes, her fiat, as this messianic joy, but through that is service. And we know there's suffering and there's sorrow, but it's through the service that Mary was able to experience this authentic reign. And it just is ever amazing to contemplate the depth of Our Lady and rejoicing in that, and that we should not be afraid. How often that is uttered through Scripture and in our lives, whether it was, I go back to graduating high school and being afraid of some of the unknowns. Here I am
in my 40s and transitioning into kind of my kids are getting older. And there are so many things that remind us that we need to be humbled and that we don't have it all figured out. And I think with women, very often we want to be in control. We talk about that a lot on the podcast and how the sooner we abandon ourselves to God's will, the more gloriously He can work in our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was thinking about that this weekend. The gospel from this past, on the 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time, the apostles begin the gospel by saying, increase our faith, which is such a beautiful cry from the heart. But the word faith in Greek is pistis, which means trust. Increase our trust, not just like in concepts, but increase our willingness to entrust ourselves, because that is the issue, right? From the fall onward, the Lord has been slowly, gently, like a good father, tenderly wooing us back into this posture of trust and an openness, right? Will you trust me that I'm good? Will you trust and open yourself up to me that I'm not going to hurt you, but I, in fact, just want to pour blessing and love and mercy upon you? And the person who, like, most perfectly and who at long last does it completely is our blessed mother, right? All through the Old Testament, you have this posture of closed fearfulness. And then finally, heaven approaches a young girl, bends the knee, tells her, do not be afraid. And she opens herself completely in trust and welcomes the Lord deep into her own life, right? And her life is the model of all of our lives as disciples, not just women, but as a priest, as a layman, as, you know, all of us. We're called to do what she did, and it takes being coaxed out of that posture of fear to open ourselves up in trust, just like you said, just like Our Lady did.
And that is a really tough thing that I think we just have to learn by doing constantly, constantly. You had mentioned Fulton Sheen and venerating his tomb, and I was reading, I love, love, love the book World's First Love by Fulton Sheen, and In there he has a quote, and he says, like unhatched eggs, some of us refuse to be warmed by divine love, which is so necessary for the incubation to a higher level. We want to camp out where we are. We feel really good where we are on the side of the mountain, and then when we're called to pick up our tent and to go up higher, it's like, oh, but I don't know what I'm going to face up there. And sometimes we can feel it. We can feel it coming on. Other times we're forced there and it just happens all of a sudden. And that could be through a diagnosis, through a job loss, through a trauma. And so I think that it's in those moments where all the formation and that's where the rubber meets the road, that we have been grafted onto the side of Jesus. That's when we show what we're made of.
Yeah. By the way, did you just have like that quote memorized? That was incredible.
I went back because I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Oh my gosh. I was like, wow. Just quoting Fulton Sheen verbatim.
Trust me, I can't even remember half of the birthdays in my family. So I sometimes have to have my little copy notes.
One of the things that I just was thinking as you were just talking there, Brooke, was the just as I've been praying over the past few months about this conference for these women, a word that just keeps popping up in my own heart, imagination, and prayer has just been the word more. I sense just this deep desire in the Father's heart to speak deeply to the hearts of these women concerning their hunger for more. More out of life, more out of themselves, more out of prayer, more out of their sisterhood, more out of their marriages, just more. Just, I want more life, more of this abundant life that seems promised to me. But as you said, it just gets very easy to settle into our routines and what we have grown to expect as our normal.
Yes, even when it's not working, even when we're unhappy and we just are stuck and we don't know, it's almost too painful. We can't take any more to pick up our camp and go up.
Yeah, I look at the lives of the saints and, you know, the saints are not just the extraordinary outliers. They are the norm in the sense of they are what we are all called to be in our own unique and particular vocations and walks of life. But all of us are called to a height of joy and fulfillment and just depth of intimacy with God that really is as satisfying as we want it to be. I just sense that so many of us, not just women, but just men and women, everybody, I think there's a real sort of lethargic slide into mediocrity. Like this is where I am. This is about as high or as deep as I'm going to go in my relationship with the Lord. The reality is, anytime we think we've reached the summit, like it's only a false summit. You know, those for those of us who hike, you hike up the mountain, you think you're about to hit the summit, then you reach there, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not even anywhere close to the summit. I just sense deep in the Father's heart, like for the a desire in his heart for these women who are coming on this conference on October 19th, more. He wants more. He wants to give them more. He wants more freedom for them, just more joy, more life. It's not necessarily to do more, because that's always our temptation, that I've got to start doing more. The spiritual life it's not like getting into the Olympics. It's not like about training long hours. It's finally about letting something be achieved in us, about giving up in the sense of, fine, I'll let you love me. You know, I'll let myself be loved. I'll let myself be seen. And that's when everything takes off.
We were talking a little bit about setting off into the deep and wanting more. And it took me, as soon as you said that, transported me right back to Galilee. And there's a beautiful chapel there and a church in Magdala where the altar is actually a boat. And there's an inscription that says, set off into the deep. And that is the call of the first disciples to make fishers of men. That is our call by nature of confirmation, the sacraments, the commission that we have received. And yet you also talked about that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to add more to our plate. I often, in going out and speaking, talk about this true thing. It's a diagnosable condition called the hurried woman syndrome, where we are truly overstretched, and that results in physical illnesses such as depression and anxiety. But yet I think it comes from a longing for more. We want to bring about new life, and that means in the lives of our children, in our homes, in our workplaces, and where we've been called in the church. But then something happens and we feel tired and we feel worn down and we don't know how to get back to that place. Also, there's grief in there too. Sometimes in life, as we're caregivers, we can really be into a place where we're just in survival mode. And so wanting to find that warrior spirit, the name of the show is Good Things Radio, but the big emphasis is being fully alive. And that takes work. And you talked about the disciples and asking Jesus, increase our faith. And part of that comes in faith takes work. And maybe you could speak to that a little bit, because I know in priesthood, you weren't just ordained and then all of a sudden you floated into this womb of holy perfection. I mean, it really does take work.
Yeah. Oh man, that's truer words were never said right there. Gosh, as you were talking, I've been to that chapel that you were just speaking of in Magdala, with the boat as the altar, and you see the Sea of Galilee, you just see it in the background. If I'm thinking of the same place, it's the entire building is dedicated to the women of the gospel.
That's right. Yep. Susanna.
Right.
Yes.
There's that stunning image on the basement level of the woman in the crowd reaching through to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. And, it's such an amazing image. She's the perspective is not from like shoulder or eye level. The painting is depicting from like ground level. You see this hand moving through these feet and just grabbing the hem of Jesus's garment. You know, when you speak about the work required for the spiritual life, so much of the work required for the spiritual life, for setting out into the deep, is letting go of the inessential. Yeah, it's not so much a taking on as it is a letting go of things that are getting in the way or things that are holding us back. You know, when Jesus invites the disciples to put out into the deep, he's inviting them to let go of the control and the sense of expertise that they had as their own fishermen. Like, what do you mean? Like, we know how to fish and we know what we've been doing and we know how to do this. And he invites them, he tells them, put out into the deep. Well, that's not where fishermen fish back in Jesus' day. They fished in the shallows because that's where you can see the fish. But he says, put out into the deep. In other words, drop your nets into the unknown. And you have to imagine as they're letting these nets fall, like as the weighted nets are sinking lower and lower, the rope slipping through their hands, that like they're knowing, like as every inch of the rope goes, it's going to have to be hauled back up just as far. And that's hard. That's a lot of trust. When I think about the work of the spiritual life, I think about it in terms of that. Am I willing to slide over from the driver's seat into the passenger seat? And the only way that we are motivated to do that, relinquish that kind of control, is if we first encounter this Jesus and his love and we discover it to be good and trustworthy. And the only way we allow that to happen is if we allow ourselves to be opened in vulnerability and to be seen in our brokenness. And that just pushes us right into a place of deep vulnerability. The work of the spiritual life is motivated not by a go-getter attitude. It's motivated by love. Like, I've been loved, and I want to stay with this one who loves me. In the same way that the work of the married life is not so much of like a go-getter attitude, but it's the work of staying in love, staying open, staying vulnerable, staying receptive to this other person, not letting your heart close up or grow sclerotic, letting it stay open, which is to stay vulnerable.
And also that being a people of the resurrection, that when we serve, when we lay ourselves down, there will be new life. And that sometimes in the midst of long trials can get clouded. And it's interesting when you talked about that surrender, because I actually happen to have the Fulton Sheen books, so I don't have this quote memorized, but I had it highlighted here. And it took me right back to that when you said that. He says, the more empty the soul is of self, the greater the room in it for God. The larger the emptiness of a nest, the bigger the bird that can be housed therein. And that intrinsic relationship between humility and God within. And pride is such a tricky thing. And it is interesting how over and over I see that comes up. And that sometimes is why we push ourselves into the wrong things and just allowing God to work through us and that importance and to fight for what we love, fight for our souls, fight for our faith and our church, fight for our priests, you know, that there is such a great privilege of that. And speaking of that, I want to transition a little bit into the vocation of religious life, because that's your story. It's funny, as I was prepping for this conversation, you were like a case study. I was doing so many side rabbit trails because you have not only an article written about you, it's on Catholic News Agency. And the article is called 7 Priests Ordained in 7 Years. What's the secret sauce at this Ohio parish? So you are one of the 7 ordained in 2016. And then it led me to a Life Teen video of you talking about I'm done running and how this hound of heaven chased you and you were running away. And then finally you go the other direction and run into his arms and accept this beautiful robe of the priesthood. And so share with us, for those that don't know, a little bit about your call into this vocation.
Yeah, boy, it came out of nowhere. So growing up as a kid, I was baptized in First Communion, all that stuff that as a little baby, as a little boy, but the Christian life was not part of our life as a family growing up. I have very, very few memories of going to church as a kid, except for Christmas and Easter. We were those Catholics, right? I think growing up, I only thought the church happened on those two holidays. So,
yep. Did you go to Catholic school, by the way?
No. In fact, none of those 7 priests from my home parish, none of us went to Catholic school. We were all public school educated. Okay. Yeah. I went to public school, and then junior year of high school is when we get confirmed at St. Mary's, my home parish. And so my mom just simply said, this is the next step. You're going to do it. Same time, junior year of high school, I had a huge crush on a girl who invited me to a Life Teen fall retreat planning meeting, and I was just overwhelmed that she was talking to me to begin with. So I was going to go wherever she wanted, you know, even if it meant going to a church thing that I had no business being at. So I go to this Life Teen fall retreat planning meeting. And in the midst of Eucharistic adoration, I had a profound encounter with the Eucharistic Lord. And at this time in my life, I had no idea really what the Eucharist was. I mean, sheer grace. That's all I can say. It was a road to Damascus moment where the Lord just showed up and broke in, and I fell in love with Jesus and the church and got super involved and with the youth program, with Life Teen, Bible studies, retreats, all that sort of thing. And it was in that context that people started asking me if I'd ever thought about the priesthood, and I certainly had not.
You were thinking about that girl.
I was thinking about that girl. That's right. The priesthood is not, you know, you don't join the priesthood because you stop thinking about girls. You join the priesthood because Christ has called you to share in his own spousal love, you know?
Yes.
It's a great gift to share in his own way of loving his bride. But junior year, senior year, I was very afraid of even applying to the seminary. And I ended up heading to the University of Dayton on a full ride. Just could not make myself happy running from this vocational call to go to the seminary to answer this question. So again, another point in the spring semester, I had another profound encounter with the Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just heard the Lord say so clearly and deeply into my heart, let's just not be afraid of this. You know, let's try it my way. I entered the seminary in the fall of 08, Borromeo, graduated, and then headed to St. Mary's. And I think I really expected that those first few years at Borromeo that at some point I would get this whole priesthood thing out of my system and I would move on. But the Lord just kept wooing me deeper and deeper into his heart. And I found the pearl of great price, and I just sold everything for it. So there I was, nose down on the marble of St. John the Evangelist on May 21st, 2016, giving my life away to Jesus and the church. And it was the best decision, the best thing I ever said yes to.
How has that impacted your family, Father?
Yeah, immensely, because they thought I was crazy at first. Absolutely
crazy. Did not see that coming, I bet.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things that, like, I mean, it was before their own conversion. So they, you know, it was one of those things that good people have religion in their life, you know, it's a slice of the pie, but let's not get overboard and make it the whole pie. And I'm thinking, you just don't know who Jesus is. Like, yeah. Like he doesn't compete with the pie. He becomes the crust. And it's true, right? So so over time, my parents had their own powerful conversions, and yeah, it's been amazing, you know, to see how the Lord used my own vocational journey and my yes to bring them back in.
This incredible incubator of priests, St. Mary and Hudson, it's really astonishing to see 7 in 7 years. And you talked a little in the article about Father Stephen Flynn, and he was kind of the first in 2008 to get the ball rolling. But how has that been? It just seems like there's such a vibrancy in that parish where you would go back on break from seminary, and just the fraternity, the friendship of these priests all from this one parish.
The real gift of my home parish is that they pour just so much time, energy, talent, and treasure into the youth and the seminarians. From my time in high school, the seminarians were very visible, very involved, not just coming back on breaks, but to help out on life nights, to be present on retreats. Just seeing seminarians all the time just demystified what a seminarian is. So there's something very healthy in that mentoring setup that exists there. The great gift of the priesthood has just been that you have just front row courtside seats to the most incredible miracles and show on earth, which is just watching people meet Jesus and just watch that light bulb go off, that you see people get it. And I guess I want to live for him, you know, and the fact that I just get to sit there and watch it happen and be part of it is crazy and so awesome.
You speak as a man in love, and that is contagious. And it's going to be incredible at the conference to hear you as we then fall in love with our Lord, our Father. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for your humor, your heart, your faith, and cannot wait to hear what you have to share at the conference at St. Basil's. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Brooke. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you again to Father Patrick Schultz. And if you're interested in listening to his talk in its entirety that he gave, if you find him especially on Facebook. I'm not sure if he's on Twitter, and I didn't look on Instagram, but I did see he posted the entire audio of his talk, which is truly worth listening. I mean, what you got right there is just a snippet, but he is a charismatic speaker, a gift to the church. And so again, you can find it there, Father Patrick Schultz, and I'll link it up for you. So full show, lots to celebrate, always lots to pray for in our church, both within and without, our families, our communities. And I know that we join in that. A big thank you to our Podbean patrons, if you would like to support the show and join our tip jar program, that could be anywhere from $1 to $5 a month, $20 a month. I'll link up the info for you and become a GTR good friend of the show. Thank you so much for your support, for sharing with others and leaving a review. If you haven't left a review, please consider doing that. Super easy to do, super helpful for the program as well. And a big thank you, as always, to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So for any audiovisual needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Cumming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cumminghomestudio.com.